Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Real Deal with Thomas and Ari, the podcast where we talk about anything and everything to do with movies. Be sure to follow us at Stinger EHS on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm Thomas.
I'm Ari.
And it's time for our feature presentation. So, we have finally done it. We have reached the end of May, almost.
Yes, we have.
So, it's that time. We're going to go over a few of the highlights of what we've watched. Speaking of, I've watched 33 movies this month. I'm proud of that one.
I have not watched that many. In fact, much less.
That's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
You still got five to talk about.
Hey, I watched seven seasons of Bones, though.
Yeah? Well, yeah. I've watched almost three seasons of Seinfeld. I'm almost at the end of the third season, so...
Okay, yeah. Thomas.
Pretty crazy.
Okay.
If I do say so myself.
Okay.
You wanna start us off then with your first movie you wanna talk about?
Yeah. So I guess the first movie I'm gonna talk about is Django Unchained. I watched this at the beginning of May. I watched it on May 3rd, and mm-hmm. I watched it on Netflix, and I really enjoyed it actually. And it was really nice to see sort of like a Western that was not like Wild West, pew, 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 you know? Yeah. And, you know, it was also very fun to watch, like, you know, racists die.
Yeah, I think that's often very fun to watch.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was fun.
Yeah, this is kind of middle of the road Tarantino for me, which is still kind of funny because I still give it, like, a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, it was pretty good, but it's, like, it's not one of Tarantino's bests.
No.
But his bests are very good, so...
Yes,
it's
definitely. And I will take any opportunity I can to take about Jack... I just can't speak, apparently. I will take any opportunity I can to talk about Jackie Brown. I can speak now. That is such an underrated movie.
It really is. Jackie Brown is really good.
When I'm... This is definitely off topic slightly because we're talking about Django, but I just want to say when I first watched that, I was not blown away, but every time I watch it again, I love it more and more. And I think more people need to see that. Jackie Brown.
I've only seen it once, and like the more I think about it, the more I'm like, you know, that movie was actually really good.
Yeah, I've watched it 3 times, and it's just such a good time. Fourth favorite Tarantino. Anyway, to get back to what we were talking about, Django. Great movie. Yeah. I really love Christoph Waltz. He's so good.
You do really like Christoph Waltz.
I do. I love him. And fun fact, for anybody that didn't know this, he has won 2 Oscars in the Best Supporting Actor category within 3 years of each other, I think. And both of them were in movies directed by Tarantino. He won at the 2010 Academy Awards for Inglourious Basterds and then at the 2013 Academy Awards for Django Unchained. So, it's pretty crazy. I guess he's kind of a good luck charm for Tarantino, in a way. Even though they haven't worked together since then, which is a little sad.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of racists, on May 2nd, I watched a little indie film called Gone with the Wind. Now,
a little indie film.
Yeah, you might have heard of it. I bought this Blu-ray like 3 years ago at this point, I think, at Barnes & Noble for like $5. And it has sat on my shelf ever since then because I always look at it. I think about, do I want to watch a 4-hour movie right now? And every time it was no. And then suddenly out of nowhere, I was like, it's coronavirus, it's quarantine. I'm just going to watch this. And I did it. And I am mostly happy with having done that. It was fine. It's overhyped a lot. One way to describe it, I think, would be Diet, Birth of a Nation. It's kind of like if KKK members watch Birth of a Nation, then Confederate... What's the word?
Confederate apologists?
Yes, that's the word, apologists. Confederate apologists watch Gone with the Wind. It's just got this uncomfortable level of racism that's like not like glaringly bad, but it's still like I'm not okay with it, you know?
It's it's not quite in the territory of what is deemed as socially acceptable white supremacy, but it's also not quite in the territory of what is, like, you know, the other kind.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's a good way to put it.
Both kinds are totally bad. Don't get me wrong. Totally
bad. Very bad. But anyway, yeah, there's a lot of racism. It's a little uncomfortable to watch in that way. But putting that aside, which is a little difficult, but we're going to try. The cinematography of the movie is really, really great. They really shot it well. It's got like that whole kind of golden age Hollywood Technicolor vibe to it. Very vibrant. And there's this one like amazing shot where it's like a crane going over a giant field of wounded soldiers as the lead character, Vivien Leigh, as Scarlett, that's her name, Scarlett, walking through trying to get to the doctor. It's like this amazing shot. It looked like it took a while to do, if I had to guess, and I could really appreciate that. And the music. The music is fantastic as well. There's this one piece of music from it. I think it's called Tara's theme. It's the most iconic. It's really beautiful. I love it.
I've never seen Gone with the Wind. And I have also never read the book. But I can pretty much surmise what it's about.
Yeah. It's fine. It's racist. It's Golden Age Hollywood. It's basically what you'd expect.
Yeah. It's also 4 hours long.
Yes, that too.
All right. So the next movie I have to talk about is actually another Western, High Noon. So I watched it on May 11th and I rented it from Amazon Prime. And I've been wanting to watch it for a while. And so my dad had actually watched a clip of it on Facebook, because that's what he does now. He sits at his computer and just watches movie clips on Facebook.
This is what quarantine has brought him to.
Yeah. And so he was like, why don't we watch High Noon? And I'm like, okay. I've been wanting to watch that. And I just never got around to it. So we watched High Noon. And I really liked it. It's definitely a Western. It's pretty much the same sort of idea as what you would think of as a Western.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sheriff in a Western town trying to prevent something bad happening, but it also has a lot of like emotional depth that you often don't get in Westerns, which I really enjoyed. And the suspense is really good, and it also leads to a climax, which is also really good, which you sometimes don't get both. You sometimes only get one or the other, but it was nice that you got both, so I liked that.
Yeah, so it kind of like breaks the mold of the regular kind of surface level American Western of the time.
And Gary Cooper was also very good.
Yeah, I have not seen the film. I have been meaning to. But, it seems interesting. It's black and white, right?
I think so. And, fun fact, the guy who was in For a Few Dollars More and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is also in High Noon. You know, the...
Wait. Lee
not
Van
the
Cleef?
Mexican, not the Mexican guy. Yes, Lee Van Cleef.
Yes, I like him. He's also in Once Upon a Time in the West. That was a first time watch during quarantine for me back in March. That's one of my favorites now. I like Lee Van Cleef.
Yeah.
Yeah, not much more to add. Westerns, they're pretty great. One of my favorite genres. Moving over to very much not a Western, we have Pickpocket. I watched this on May 8th on the Criterion Channel when I had a free trial of it. I'm definitely going to get the Criterion Channel again. It is phenomenal. There's so many good movies on it. I really want to have it. I recommend it to anybody who's interested in movies in any capacity. It's great. But anyway, Pickpocket, directed by famous French auteur Robert Bresson. I don't know. I'm not French. I don't speak French. I hope I pronounced that right. It was pretty good. I was a little disappointed because I've heard phenomenal things about Bresson. I've heard he's like one of the great auteurs of the 20th century, you know, up on the pedestal with like Kubrick and Kurosawa and such. But I mean, I don't know. It just felt kind of empty to me. And maybe I need to rewatch it to fully get it. But it was like just a quick, like 80-minute movie. I think less than that, like 76 minutes, I think, of just a dude like picking pockets, as you would assume. And then he's just kind of, I don't know, there wasn't much of an ending to it, really. It's just strange. I really wanted to love it, but I don't know. It was fine. It was all right.
Interesting. I've never seen it, nor have I seen any films by that director, so I don't have much to say.
Yeah.
Except, interesting.
Yeah, that was my introduction to him, so I'm a little disappointed, but it's okay. I'm going to watch more from him. I'm excited to watch, I think, another film of his is A Man Escapes from Prison. And I thought that was funny. I heard it in like
an interview. It's a very straightforward title.
Yes, in an interview with the Safdie brothers when they said they really admired that Bresson gave away his film and the title. So, yeah, I might be checking that out soon.
Yeah. So this is a very far jump from auteur cinema, but on May 22nd, I watched Avatar, the James Cameron movie, on Disney Plus, not the TV show. But I also do very much like the TV show. It's actually probably my favorite TV show.
I still haven't seen that. Even my sister is watching it. Even my sister walked into my room the other day and was like, "Do you watch Avatar?" Like, I guess freaking everybody's watching it except for me.
Yeah. It's on Netflix, Thomas. Come on.
I'll check it out.
Well, I had never seen it before.
Really?
I had not. I had never seen it. And so I actually liked it a lot because I thought it was just going to be like, I thought it was one of those movies that was going to be like, it's just okay. But I actually liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it had a really good like commentary on sort of like the struggles of indigenous people and colonization and stuff like that. And I mean, obviously, like that was very, very a blatantly obvious take in the movie, but I thought it was very well done.
Yeah.
And fun fact, I actually watched it right after I watched the Bones episode where three of the characters are waiting in line for the premiere and they have to keep switching spots so they can go solve the murder because that's what they do on Bones. And the one character, Fisher, is actually like one of the supporting characters. Like the one character from Bones, his actor plays one of the supporting characters in Avatar.
So
more, that's his name.
That seems to open up an entire existential crisis in this movie universe, or TV show universe, I should say. Does that mean that when they saw Avatar, he saw the character and was like, "Why does he look exactly like me?"
Well, no. The funniest thing is, in the TV show, he missed the movie because I'm just going to say that he was inside a tent with a woman. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to expand, but I think you can all catch my drift.
Yeah, I think everyone can connect the dots on that one. Yes. That's pretty funny. I kind of like that.
So, yeah.
Anyway, back to Avatar. I have not seen this movie since it came out. I don't remember much. I remember some dude with a scar and a weird haircut being in a giant robot killing things.
Yes. He is definitely in it.
He's definitely in a robot. He definitely kills things.
Yeah.
Oh, and Sigourney Weaver. Sigourney Weaver's in it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, she dies in the movie.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And Zoe Saldana is also in the movie. She's played a blue person and a green person now.
Yes, and they are both the top two highest grossing movies of all time.
Yes, they are.
So I guess the way to make money...
I just think that's cool.
The way to make money is to paint Zoe Saldana a very vibrant color as an alien. And boom, $2.8 billion in the bag. Yeah, I think that's about all we have to say about Avatar. Back over to me. On May 14th, I watched the Coen Brothers movie Hail Caesar, which came out in 2016. I watched this on Netflix. It was recently added this month. And this was a rewatch for me. I originally watched this like 2 years ago, I think. Maybe like a year and a half ago. Not sure. I was not blown away. It was one of the Coen Brothers movies that I was not blown away by. It's just, it was on the lower end for me. But upon rewatch, I really appreciated more. It's just a very strange love letter to Hollywood. Now, like, we had Once Upon a Time in Hollywood last year, which is probably more famous than Hail Caesar, which was Tarantino's way of paying ode to Hollywood, except the 60s. Now, this Hail Caesar was 50s Hollywood, at like the height of the studio system. It's just, it's a very strange movie that kind of combines like drama, comedy, satire, historical epic, noir, and it's just, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen it, so I would not know.
Yeah.
But
one thing I love to see in movies is when a director or directors, in this case, Coen Brothers, like to show how much they love movies. I don't know, it just gets me a lot, and I like it. In this movie specifically, there's just, you can tell there's a lot of references to Hollywood, even with the main character, Eddie Mannix, who is based on a real guy named Mannix, I think. So, yeah, it's just, it's a lot of fun to see a love of film pouring out of a movie like this one.
I mean, the only Mannix I know is the one character from The Hateful Eight. Yes,
Chris Mannix.
I just watched Love that last movie. Night, so.
That is such a good movie.
Yeah. It is. It is very good. All right. So the next movie I have to talk about is Alien by Ridley Scott. I watched it on May 9th, and I once again rented it off of Amazon Prime. I thought it was pretty good. I think it's a little bit like overhyped, but I do appreciate, I think it's very good, but I think it's a little bit overhyped. I mean, it's cool that it has this sort of like subtle, like, you know, like anti-corporation, corporate greed vibe going on. I like the plot. I like most of the characters. I think it's pretty well written. It's just like, you know, it's exactly what you'd expect of it. I don't think it really, it's not very, it's a great horror movie. Don't get me wrong. It just doesn't bring that much other than what you pretty much expect of it, which is fine. I just think it's good.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. It's good.
I watched this one a few years ago and just, I don't remember a whole lot from it, but I just know that when it ended, I kind of sat there for a second like, that's it? That's what everybody loves?
Yeah, that's how I thought.
I mean, it was not bad by any means. It was really great, but it just wasn't really what everybody hypes it up to be, I think. And also, I just noticed you have talked about two movies involving aliens starring Sigourney Weaver.
That is true. I have.
Yeah, Alien. It's good.
Alien.
And you can quote me on that.
That's good. You can quote me on that. I've said it multiple times.
All right, jumping back over to me. I watched a French-Canadian movie called Mommy, which came out in 2014, directed by Xavier Dolan. I watched this on May 22nd. I rented it on Fandango Now. I don't often rent movies, but I saw this was an HD rental for only 99 cents. I had to take my chance, you know?
That is a steal. That is a steal.
This was a nice movie to watch. It's like hard-hitting subject matter. It's about like a child with like behavioral problems like ADHD and like an attachment disorder and stuff, and a single mother taking care of that, and he's a teenager, so he's kind of, it gets a little crazy. He throws tantrums and things like that. But despite all of that, it's a very warm movie somehow. I think it's just a really great representation of kind of the tumultuous nature of life. Like, we have our very dark moments that are just horrifying to watch, yet despite that, some really, really great memories shine through, and it seems like often things work out in the end. And one thing I thought that added a lot to kind of the warm feeling, the kind of family-ness to it, was an interesting aspect ratio, which was an actual square. It was 1-to-1 aspect ratio.
So it's like, yes, the lighthouse.
Except the lighthouse, I think, is like 1.15-to-1, right? It's not quite a box.
Yeah.
It's close. It's pretty much unnoticeable that it isn't a box, but I'm pretty sure it's not quite there. I will say, this is a very weird thing, but I'm going to mention it. I do not like the song Wonderwall. I'm sorry. It's not my thing. But there is a scene in this movie where he is skateboarding, listening to Wonderwall on his headphones, and it almost made me like the song Wonderwall. That's how good that scene is. Or montage, I should say. It's really wonderful to watch. It's beautiful.
I've never seen the movie. I've been meaning to watch it for quite a long time. But I've never seen it. Now that you've said that about it, I think I actually am going to watch it. I just never really knew what it was about. Like, I knew it was like, it was going to be some sort of like family-based movie, obviously, based on the title, you know, something dysfunctional like that. But I never really knew what it was about. I've heard a lot of good things about, like, Sandra Dolan. But, I think I'll probably watch it.
It was really great. I have a feeling I might move my my rating up on that one. It's just, it's a nice movie.
Sounds indeed. Nice. All right. So, I guess the last movie I have to talk about, I actually watched it today. And... you know, I had been sort of looking forward to this movie ever since they announced it. Oh my goodness,
I remember. Who took your picture? Eric took your picture in front of the cutout of this movie?
Yes, so I watched Scoob. I liked it. I got pretty much what I expected I was going to get out of it. I got pretty much all the enjoyment I expected I was going to get out of it. Obviously... definitely not as good as the original Scooby-Doo's, you know, like the ones made by Hanna-Barbera. Those were the peak.
The golden age.
And you know what I'm going to say? You know what I'm going to say?
Oh, gosh. Just say it.
I wish it was 2D animated. I wish it was. And you know why? I have an actual reason this time. You know why? So... the 3D rendering at times was actually sometimes, it was quite plastic.
I hate when that happens.
Especially when they were talking, the mouths sometimes just looked weird. It did not look right at all.
I can really agree with you on that one. When 3D animation is done wrong, it's really, really bad.
Yeah. Like, most of it was okay, but the way that they made the mouths move in some parts was just absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
I've never been a very big fan of the Scooby-Doo movies. I think I remember one where it was like some weird temple and there was like a pharaoh and stuff.
Oh yeah, the curse of the
yeah,
mummy.
Yeah, I vaguely remember those. Like the whole.
I think I have that one. Oh wait, I have it. I have it sitting across room. It is called Scooby-Doo. Where's my mummy? Wait a second!
I just realized I just unlocked a memory without even trying. My grandma owns a DVD of some Yeti Scooby-Doo movie. What's that one?
I think that one is called Scooby-Doo and...
Scooby-Doo database.
There's so many.
It's probably something along the lines of Curse of the Yeti or something like that.
Oh, wait. Is it Chill Out Scooby-Doo?
It might be. I have no idea. I just...
yep, it's that one. It's Chill Out Scooby-Doo.
Chill Out Scooby-Doo. My grandma has a DVD of that. Anyway, I vaguely remember watching like that whole era of 2000s 2D animated Scooby-Doo movies, but I've never been a very big fan, so I wasn't really excited for Scoob. And then the reviews came out saying it wasn't very good, and so I decided, yeah, I have no reason to watch this, so I don't plan on watching it.
Yeah, you really don't. I only watch it because I'm, like, honestly a Scooby-Doo fan. I always have been. I've always been, like, absolute trash for Scooby-Doo. Like, literally my whole entire life. I can't.
You've been a Scooby-Doo stan since day one.
Yeah. One time I went to my cousin's house, and he let us pick. So me and my other cousin, he let us pick a VHS tape each from his huge collection to take with us. And so fun fact, I actually took this Alvin and the Chipmunks Meet Frankenstein VHS. But my cousin took the first five original Scooby-Doo VHS episodes one. And it's still at my grandma's house, and I still watch it every single time I go over there.
Wow.
I wish I was kidding.
Every single time. That's adorable, Ari. I enjoyed that story.
So, yeah. Other things I have to say about Scoob. I mean, the story was a bit, corny and, exactly what you would expect it to be for, a Scooby-Doo movie sort of thing that was a big blockbuster. But I wish it would have been, a better story because it's a feature movie.
Yeah.
But it did its job, I guess. I wish it was a better story, but it's fine. And obviously, it had a lot of, jokes meant for kids, but there was also enough for an adult audience to be entertained.
Yeah.
So, I guess that was good,
Speaking of an adult audience being entertained, I don't know if you know where I'm going with this, but
the thing
I've seen the most of regarding Scoob is a lot of people on Twitter posting questionable material of a police officer character. Do you know what I'm?
Oh my god, one? Really?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of memes about that. You got any opinions on that?
No, because I haven't seen it before.
There's some weird stuff out there. I'm gonna leave it at that. I don't want to get into it.
I thought you were gonna talk about the Velma memes.
No. No. Yeah.
I'm just gonna say on that one, if you know, you know. I'm not gonna elaborate.
Yeah, that's basically how I am with this police officer character. Anyway, I'd like to get out of this conversation as quick as possible. Let's go over to Paths of Glory, the movie that I watched today. May 28th. Spoiler alert, that's the date. I watched it on Amazon Prime for free, if anybody's got Amazon Prime. I've been meaning to watch this one for a while. It's a Stanley Kubrick movie from 1957. It's a very interesting movie. It's another instance of combining genres like Hail Caesar, except in this case, it's a World War I straight up war movie for the first half, and then almost like 1917, even though that seems strange to compare it to that. Anyway, and then the second half turns into this very 12 Angry Men, To Kill a Mockingbird-esque courtroom drama, which was interesting. And I will say this, a lot of people might not agree with me, but I, without a doubt, will always take early Stanley Kubrick to late Stanley Kubrick. Like, I'm talking late 50s to the end of the 60s, or to the middle of the 60s, in fact, over 70s and 80s Kubrick. I think he was doing in black and white was just very beautiful. A lot of harsh shadows and things. Same with his two other black and white movies I've seen, Dr. Strangelove and The Killing. He just does a lot of interesting stuff in black and white. I really like it. And with this movie, Paths of Glory, it's genuinely horrifying towards the end. Except,
I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
So you won't have much to add. Anyway.
Yeah.
It gets really, really dark, and it's horrifying. And then suddenly it's just this turn. At the very end, there's a moment, I'm not going to really specify it, but it's just very beautiful. It's got the main character, Kirk Douglas, kind of not saying a single word, but you can really hear a lot from him, if that makes any sense. It's just, and then it just says the end. It's such an interesting kind of rumination on human nature And Kirk Douglas yells a lot of things about being ashamed to be a human. And it's just, it's crazy. It's a lot to handle. I'm going to be thinking about it for a while, probably.
The only thing that I have to add about this movie, really, is that when I first got Letterboxd, there was this guy that followed me who liked Birth of a Nation a little bit too much. Like, a little bit too much. Who also really liked this movie. And I don't know if that means anything, but...
No, it doesn't. I think the only way it could mean anything is the fact that the entire cast is white, but I don't know.
Well, he really liked, like, war movies, that you might know? Mean something.
There's no racial undertones or overtones in the movie. The only way you could get any of that would be if you look at the fact that everybody's white. But it's a World War I movie in France, so I don't think there's a lot of room for racial diversity. Yeah. May, an eventful month. We thought Kim Jong-un was dead.
I really cannot believe that was this month.
I don't know, man.
I feel like that was like, that could have been feels a year like
years ago.
I don't even know.
And everybody's on the usual shenanigans in the world. It's a crazy place, but movies are getting me through it. You know? So, you got anything else to add, really?
I mean, I don't know. I'm excited for, I guess we can talk about this in a later episode and expand on it, but I'm excited for Tenet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Christopher Nolan's new movie, which is somehow going to come out in theaters.
I'm interested to see how that works. July? Yeah, it's supposed to be July 17th, I believe. So...
I guess we'll find out
more soon. Oh, and speaking of, my mom got an email today from New Vision Theaters that seemed very much implying that they're planning to kind of get things into high gear soon because they're giving out free gift cards to seniors, like class of 2020. And
oh, I thought you were going to talk about senior citizens.
And
it's going to be like,
in the email, they talked about movies coming soon. So I guess they're things might be happening. Pretty crazy.
Well, I mean, we do go into the yellow phase, I think is what it's called, on June 5th. Which is actually, I think that's next week.
Oh, yeah. Wait. I think it's next Friday, right?
It is next Friday.
Wow, look at that.
So a week from when this gets uploaded.
All right.
So, a week left, and y'all can go and get Corona however much you want.
Very true. I feel like that's all for today. And everybody make sure to throw your popcorn away on the way out.